Good morning, friends, brothers, and the family of God. It's another beautiful day, and it's day two of our study of the book of Exodus, as far as we can go in the week. And today, I want us to look at a portion of the chapter two that we started with yesterday. Father, let your blessing be with us, and let the Holy Spirit carry the word and let it increase it in our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank you, brothers and sisters, for those of us who take the time to listen to this hearing. The Lord definitely uses every opportunity that he gets or that is available to speak to our hearts. And trusting that he will speak to our hearts again today, just as he spoke to mine while I was reading this chapter. Now, we find here that the man Moses became someone in chapter 2 that was given birth to as a goodly child, but he had to be hid for 3 months. So if we read from chapter 1, a man took a wife, the daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, saw that he was a goodly child, hid him for 3 months. But verse 3 says that when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and essentially we know the story puts him in the flag, with the flag on it at the river's brink. Moses, being a perfect type of Christ, of Jesus Christ, as the scripture says in Deuteronomy, that a prophet like unto me, that's Moses talking about himself, will the Lord God raise for you from amongst your brethren. Jesus Christ is a perfect type. I mean, he's a prophet like unto Moses. So Moses is a type of Christ. The Old Testament is always a type of the New Testament. But the point here is, just as Christ was haunted, just as the birth of Christ brought about the king at the time trying to kill him, so also was the birth of Moses. Moses, when he was given birth to, even though nobody knew he was going to be the deliverer, we don't have any records that was known or pre-known by even the parents. But the events surrounding his birth were Pharaoh, the king at the time, wanted to kill him, already started to set a type that he was a type of Christ. And Christ is indeed a prophet like unto Moses. And we read here in chapter verse 3 that Jochebed, who is the mother of Moses here, you know, when she could no longer hide him. Just a couple of pearls that I would bring to our attention here that we can use for our own Christian walk as well. The first thing here is that Jochebed did everything she could to hide Moses. She didn't just, after giving birth to Moses, oh, they're going to kill Moses. And I mean, so I trust God that God is going to take care of this boy. So I'm just going to throw him put him in the river and God's going to take care of him. She didn't do that. She did everything she could to keep Moses. And the learning there is, we need to do our own part. There's always a part for humans, for we children of God to do. But sometimes we see children of God becoming lazy and they want to abdicate their own part to God to do for them. There's always a role for us to play before God steps in. when our back, when it is out of our hands completely, that is when, that's the portion that is God's. The portion that is not man's is the portion that is God. I find something interesting in 1 Corinthians 3:6 when Paul talks about, I plant, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. Isn't that interesting that he never said that God plants? God doesn't plant. God doesn't do the watering. He does the increase because man cannot bring increase. The mechanics is man's. Man needs to set the altar right. Elijah needed to put the correct number of stones, the correct number of wood, set the altar right before God brings the increase, which is the fire. That part man cannot do. But the part that man can do, man doesn't want to do it. Man doesn't want to make his life right. Man doesn't want to set things right, but he wants God to bring the fire. He wants God to bring the increase. Man, in fact, wants God to do the planting. Today, it's only in rare occasions that you hear that God is not going to walk and do evangelism for us. No. We have to plant. It's man that plants. It's man that waters. Man plants, man does the discipleship. You follow up with, you check on the people. And then God brings the increase in the heart of the people. The effect is made, I mean, with the impact, the effect, the word seeding into the heart, the word convicting, that's the work of God. That's God's work. So the point again here is, Jacobed kept on doing what she could do, hiding the boy. She didn't take on to recklessness and just say, you know what, I'm just going to put him out there in the water and God's just going to take care of him. But when it got to a point, as the Bible says in verse 3, when she could no longer hide him, she took him out there and put the situation in the hand of the Lord. But the point that I want to really drive in most importantly is that there is always a role for man to play. Sometimes we pray, oh God, I want to love you more. Oh Lord, I want to. But we are not making time to study our Bible, to pray. Those are the parts that we have to do. God's not going to do that for us. If we don't do that, our prayers and requests for increase in love and whatever else is not going to come, because that only comes upon the planted and the planting and the watering. So there's always a role for man to play. It also applies to our physical life. I want to be blessed. But we are lazy. you want to be blessed physically, but you don't want to work. You want some, as we find also in Africa sometimes, people these days are doing miraculous a lot, coming into their phone. Divine money, that's magic. That's not God's pattern. I will bless the work of your hand. There has to be something that you're doing. God brings the increase, but he doesn't do the planting. Now, when you cannot help it, then where could I go but to the Lord? And that's what Jacobed did here. We also see, as we continue to read further down, something miraculous happens. The daughter of Pharaoh came to the river to bathe just at the right time. Just at the perfect time. That's what happened between verses 4 to 5. You know, may the Lord guide our steps. The Lord guided the steps of Jacobed to bring the child to the river brink at a time that was so perfect that the ark would not have floated too far for the daughter of Pharaoh to see it, to sight it, it was just the right timing. It was an ordering of steps. The lady came to bid at the right time, just after Jacob had let go of a challenge unto the Lord. She let go of holding her problems, carrying it all by herself. And that's it. That's another learning there. Our problems, when we cannot do anything about it, we need to come to the place of trust. Jacob had to come to the place of trust. She had to trust the Lord. She was done carrying her problems herself. And sometimes, that's only when we get results. Getting to the point where I cannot carry it anymore. There's nothing I can do about it. This is God's. Whatever is left is of God. I'm diligent at my job. I'm doing everything I have to do. But there's an expectation that I have. I cannot bring that expectation. It's God that has to do the increase. So I come to the place of trust. When we do our part, and Jacob had kept the baby, but she could no longer keep the baby. She had to come to the place of trust. When you do everything you can, then you need to come to the place of trust and say, Lord, I know that you can do more with this situation than I can do, and let it go to him. Let the burden, leave it there for him, and trust that he will take care of it. And we see that as the story unfolds in verse 6, the daughter of Pharaoh opened the baby, had compassion on the baby. And Moses became someone who was living in the king's palace, brought up by the king. That's an interesting contrast. The same king who was hunting for his life became the same hand that nurtured him. Doesn't the Bible say that he will set a table before us right in the presence of our enemies? That's exactly what happened to Moses here. Sometimes we think that we know what we need. Just as a child. A child thinks that, oh, I need this. But you as a parent knows that you don't need that. That's not what you need. You need something else. Jacob might have been praying that, Lord, I want you to kill Pharaoh. I want you to kill Pharaoh. Because he's just my enemy. We need another regime. We need another king. We need a change in policy. But God, who is a father, a good father, knew that that was not the need. King Pharaoh was not the need. But the need was that he would set a table in the presence of his, he would set a table before him in the presence of his enemies. He knew that the need was when others were crying, suffering, he will make a way for him. Thousands fall on your left and your right, but it will not come near thee. He knew that it may not be that he had to change the policy of that nation. It may not be that he had to make the world a better place, make it all problem-free. But the need was that even if the world is experiencing famine, that his children, we have plenty. That he will set a table before them in the presence of their enemies. And Jacob's need, when she decided to leave it, God did exactly what she wanted, but not necessarily her own way. God did not kill Pharaoh. No. God made Pharaoh make an exception with his own hand to take care of Moses. Sometimes we don't need to pray for the extermination of our enemies. The Lord can do a new thing. you can do a new thing and make, set the table before us in the presence of our enemies. The Lord bless you. Today I want to challenge us to trust Him, because He can do much more than we can do with our situations, with our problems. We just need to have faith in Him. And faith is trust. Faith is trust. Faith is trust. Trust that His will is best for me. Faith is not stubbornness. No. Faith is that I have trust in God, that I am asking Him for this thing in accordance with His will, and that whatever He gives to me is best for me. And it doesn't mean that His will is always done. Otherwise, He would not ask us to pray that His will be done on earth. His will is already always done in heaven. Clearly, He says, "I will be done on earth as it is in heaven." His will is always done in heaven. But on earth, God wants us to pray, because He partners with man to make His will done on earth. So when we pray, God's will can be done in our lives and on earth as well. Let us have faith in Him. Let us trust Him. Those are the learnings that I wanted to bring to us from this portion of chapter 2 today. I pray that each of the points would be a blessing to you. And we will continue in the next sharing. The Lord bless you. Have a blessed week. Amen.